It's time for another edition of the At Your Service podcast, part of the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley, and we're glad to have you with us today. Well, this is the... Okay, I got to kind of backtrack this a little bit. I guess this would be the second December edition of At Your Service. No, actually be the third, because we did record a podcast with the Stone County Community Health Coalition here last week, as we did our first conservation report of December. So this is actually edition number three of the At Your Service podcast. And if you haven't had a chance to check out that podcast we did with the Health Coalition, it was our first edition with the Galena High School Public Health class. We have three of those shows we do a year. And it was some very fascinating stuff. So we invite you to check that one out. Last week, we had Dan Vanderhoff from Berry County representing the Missouri Department of Conservation. So we'll get ready to do another one of those this week, our weekly feature with the Missouri Department of Conservation. And delivering this week's conservation report, we're getting a little closer to home this time. It's going to be one of the Taney County agents, Chris Boyd, is joining us here, actually directly in the Grand Country studio. Chris, it's good to see you again. How's everything in your world?
It's been busy.
Yeah.
The up and down weather has created some it's interesting. One minute you'll be in the 30s and 40s and everybody's out hunting, and then the next day it's 60 degrees and everybody's out fishing. So it's been working both sides of the county for sure.
It's been really crazy, and it's just the I always thought that the weather could be a Branson attraction. Like a ride, you know, the weather roller coaster, because you know, you could be like that. You could get to a segment where you're just burning up, and then you go right into snow and then all that stuff, because that would be weather in the Ozarks.
I feel like that should be a Silver Dollar City ride. I mean,
yeah,
I feel like
it could be
the weather, you know.
Well, my
time traveler, now the weather.
My wife works for Silver Dollar City. I might suggest that, and then she'll probably tell me how that suggestion goes with the other ones I made. But anyway, be that as may, I got, before we go any further and do our regular information here, I got to share a story with you, because earlier this week on Ozarks Now, we had the Mayor of Forsyth, Missy Hesketh, joined us on the program, and of course there's a lot going on in Forsyth, but we actually talked a little bit about the Conservation Department during that, because the City of Forsyth recently passed a proclamation that declared the area there of Forsyth the walleye capital of Missouri. And you and I, on our reports, especially you and I, because I know you're over in that area a lot, we always talk about the walleye fishing in Bull Shoals Lake and how outstanding it is.
Right.
And you know, I mean, anyone can make a proclamation, but I will give the City of Forsyth their due. They did some research. They talked to some of the anglers and kind of got some information about it. And so Forsyth is the, according to this proclamation, the walleye capital of Missouri. And based on what you've told me, there's a lot of walleye to be had if you know where to look in Bull Shoals Lake.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if Forsyth, I mean, I think it's a good idea, but for me as a fisherman in Bull Shoals, I've always called it the hidden gem. So the more we give it names and put us on the map, you know, the more we're gonna have fishermen, which is good.
Well,
there's plenty of fish to be had, but it is the hidden gem of Missouri. I will give them that.
Yes. Well, of course, here's the deal. We on the one hand, it is great for the anglers to be able to get to go to that little corner, but when you promote something, the idea is to get visitors in to spend
money.
Well, you know, it's funny, we talk about that with Roaring River too. Again, Dan Vanderhoff was on the show last week, and we say it's kind of like a hidden gem, but I don't know how you can call it hidden. The number one visit state park in Missouri 4 years in a row.
Very
so
true.
It's not much hidden anymore about it, but that's a good thing, because people, and I guess the overall thing about it is, we continue to say, is we have such a variety of places to go that involve the outdoors here in the Lakes region. You know, really Ozark County, Taney, Stone, and Berry, all through that. We've got a lot of great attractions, and I think especially after COVID-19, I think people are kind of rediscovering some of these areas.
Yeah, and if you haven't checked out Roaring River, even if you're not a fisherman, just the hiking and going to the spring and checking that area out, it is a really cool area, and we've said this 1,000 times on this podcast and the radio show before, but we are extremely lucky in this part of the state. If you go travel anywhere else in the country, we have so many areas that are public lands that are opened up to discovering nature, hiking the areas, fishing, but we have some of the best resources around.
Yeah, and it's great to call it home.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. So speaking of which, we're almost 5 minutes into this program here. We probably need to get to our report. So let's get to the report. What do you got to pass along to us today?
Yeah, I'll stick with the lakes. You know, lake levels are actually dropping significantly. We're kind of in a normal December pattern where we haven't been in a while. We're actually at lower levels, which we haven't seen in a while, which gives opportunities to repair docks. It gives opportunities for people to do some work and the Corps to do some work, but it also opens up a lot of fishing opportunities where you can actually start seeing more pockets of fish because of the lower levels. So I actually had a actually jumped on the boat with the fisheries and the hatchery people, and we went around on Table Rock Lake and actually went and looked at their what we call restoration program, where they actually take Christmas trees and they also put in artificial areas for fish to hang out, and it was really cool to see how much those areas attract fish. And we're not talking about just catfish and perch, we're talking about crappie and bass, and to see the difference between a 10-year-old Christmas tree that was dropped off 10 years ago versus a brand new one, and how the fish attract the newer ones and then the older ones, and just because of the foliage that is left, the needles that are still left on those trees. It's really cool. So if you actually go to our website, you can actually see those locations on Table Rock where the fisheries branch of the Department of Conservation has actually dropped those off, mdc.mo.gov, and look at those areas on the map. We also put up signs up along the banks that you'll see. They're kind of white signs with green lettering that say Fish Hatchery or Fish Project. And it's just about, you know, depending on where the bank is, if you see that sign, you're in the water on a boat, that's where the restoration projects have been taking place.
And there is usually this time of year, and again, obviously we haven't passed Christmas yet, but when we get into the first year, that's one of the things the Conservation Department and other organizations work on, is letting people know that if they have natural Christmas trees they want to dispose of, there are areas to do that to help these fish habitat.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a Christmas tree that you want to donate to the department after, you know, a real Christmas tree, just to clarify that for sure. But a Christmas tree that you know, instead of just taking it to a county road and dumping it, our Department of Conservation offers a place to actually drop it off at, so we can use it for restoration for fish projects.
Yeah, and I know Arkansas has got a similar program. It's underway already. In fact, we did a story on that a couple weeks ago, and I think it kind of leads to something I always I'm kind of marvel at, of that, how the agencies are so proactive in trying to keep these habitats going, and that there are a lot of ways that people can help make that happen.
Right, and we partnered up with some great organizations that have helped us out to make sure that we have some of those artificial ones that actually last a lot longer than 10 years and stuff. But it is fascinating to see just how simple a Christmas tree in an area can actually bring in those fish, and they spawn and they nest in those areas. And so it provides shelter for the fish, and especially for lakes that are like Table Rock, that's basically an artificial lake, man-made lake, doesn't necessarily have those areas. And Table Rock is extremely deep. You know, obviously we're not putting those on in Taneycomo in certain areas, but on Bull Shoals we are as well. But Table Rock is an extremely deep lake, and so to be able to provide those habitats for fish is important.
And again, when weather permits, there is opportunities to do a little fishing out and about. And so when people have been going out and taking advantage of the weather, what have they been finding? Have they had some success?
Yeah, it's been kind of hit and miss on Table Rock and on Bull Shoals. It seems like the bass are, I always say, like an early spawn in December. And so they're almost on the gravel banks or off the points, more so on Table Rock. And the same thing on Bull Shoals. It's going to be around the bluffy areas, around dead trees and stuff like that. But Taneycomo, winter fishing, we've said this before on this program, but it's actually more popular, it seems like, in years past than it is in the summertime sometimes, just because of the amount of stocking that we're doing and then people traveling for Christmas vacation and stuff like that. But trout fishing has been phenomenal on Taneycomo, so you can actually wade out. Wade fishing has been really good as well.
Yeah, just make sure you have those insulated waders on Taneycomo, because it does get a little chilly even when it's warm out there on that lake. Well, we are now on the home stretch. I guess it would be correct to say this, Chris. We're on the home stretch of the deer hunting season. We're just a little bit over a month away from the conclusion of the Missouri deer hunting season. overall, I know we've got, of course, archery goes to the 15th of next year. We do have, I think, still a few specialty seasons, right, left to go?
Yeah, and we're still currently in the what we call the firearm deer late antlerless portion, was started December 2nd and goes till Sunday, December 10th. And we also, coming up, will be the alternative method season, which starts December 23rd and goes till January 2nd. And then, like you said, archer season is open now until January 15th. Kind of looking back at some of the numbers, I've had a lot of people ask me, because of the, we had the CWD portion, which was November 22nd to the 26th, which basically was a continuation of that November regular season. You could take a buck or a doe during that time, that CWD portion. We have had so a lot of people, you know, happy about that season, taking more does, which is what we're wanting to see, the population coming down a little bit. And I think that late youth portion, I fell into that weekend as well, but we had a lot of success. But we're kind of looking at, we don't have the numbers for the CWD portion or the antlerless portion because we're still in it, but the regular November portion statewide numbers were 193,669, which is about average, maybe just down 1%. But for Taney County, we were actually up a little bit from previous years. And of course, we're still in the season. So basically what a lot of questions I've been asked is, why is the department doing this? And we're trying to bring population numbers down. We've done a 10-year study of where the population is going, where we think it needs to be, and also on the front of trying to fight and stop the spread of chronic wasting disease, which we label as CWD. We're trying to bring the herd down just a little bit to try to litigate the spread of chronic wasting disease.
Yeah, and you know, I know there are biologists within the conservation department that do a lot of studies on this, and I guess, Chris, there's got to be, and I guess we really haven't even talked about this. You know, we always talk about the numbers, but here's a reality. The reality is, you know, even though there are set aside conservation areas that will be there for hopefully many, many years, just regular natural areas are kind of dwindling. I mean, you've got developments that happen, you got those, the numbers go down. So some of that development that happens, it plays a factor in those numbers too, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you see those pockets of what we call kind of urban deer. Branson, Forsyth, even Hollister, there's have all tried to allow archery season or allow archery hunting, which has helped out a little bit. And I think it's a good thing that we're trying to bring those herds down, because you know, if chronic wasting disease got into one of those urban areas, it would spread much faster than it would in the countryside and stuff. So I think it's important that we allow these hunting seasons, and really it helps us as an agency. We just don't have the manpower to go in and do it when we do our winter CWD stuff, which starts January 15th to March 15th, where we go in and we find those hot spots in kind of a 5-mile radius or 10-mile radius, and try to kill as many deer as we can, which that sounds like, oh my gosh, you're going to kill all the deer. You know, we circle a zone in Taney County, you're more than likely going to kill 50 to 75 deer in that area. And we're just trying to basically get an idea of how, you know, prolific the chronic wasting disease is in that specific zone. And then other than that, we're glad to open up the seasons for hunters so they can harvest the deer and use the meat. In fact, I don't know what share the harvest numbers are yet, but just we as agents, we go to the processors and we get to collect the amount of meat, and then we give it to the food pantries. I can tell you just from my trips of going there and back, we're getting more and more deer donated to share the harvest than we ever have. So, and that's awesome, because that's going to go to help families in need.
And let's just remind folks real quick, because that was actually one thing I was going to ask about. Share the Harvest is continuing. People can donate that deer meat, and all the food pantries in the region benefit from that. But for hunters, basically what they need to do is just to make sure to get the deer to one of the processors, right?
Yeah, just take it to one of the processors that is part of the Share the Harvest program.
I think the one in Oldfield is the one in this region, right?
Oldfields. And what happens is our department pays for a certain portion, but White River Electric also pays for the other portion. So it costs the hunter no money at all now, because of White River helping us donate that money to help the hunter who harvested that deer at no cost. You can donate this deer to share the harvest.
That's right. And again, for folks that don't know, Oldfield is up there, I think, between Chadwick and Sparta up there on 125, and that particular area is not really that long a trip. But that is, I know Oldfield's been doing this for many, many years, and I know there's others in the region that people that might be listening out and about that have that same experience. So, but I know the food pantries have really benefited from this, and that's what's been good news indeed.
For sure.
So what else we got to chat about today?
Well, we still have waterfowl season that's going to – the South Zone opened up November 23rd and then went to the 26th. And then now we're open, which actually was yesterday, December 7th through January 31st. That's the South Zone for ducks. And then geese season goes all the way from November 11th through February 6th. So we're in full swing of waterfowl season and deer season right now. So – I will say you make sure you get your small game and your waterfowl permits, and then also make sure that you get your federal duck stamp. That federal duck stamp will be mailed to you, but you can get your the electronic version is temporary, and then just make sure you sign that federal duck stamp once you get it.
So, and you keep that in mind, and that actually then extends a hunting season even into February. So when you really look at it's almost like the pro sports seasons and the college sports seasons continue to expand the hunting and fishing, because because in the old days it was like, you know, some of these weren't as, you know, especially there weren't as many deer seasons and those type of things. So you were able to, you know, really January through February was kind of, okay, let's catch up now. But really there's just a very short time, because after you get that bird season done, you're just going to sleep a couple of winks, and all of a sudden it's opening trout season.
Yeah. Right, March 1 opening trout season. Yeah. March 15th paddlefish season. Yeah, there's not much of a break down here in the southern part of the state for conservation agents, that's for sure.
Absolutely. But of course there's a lot of things that you can do in the region and a lot of ways to kind of stay in touch with what is going on through the Missouri Department of Conservation, including that terrific website.
Yeah, mdc.mo.gov, full of information of not just if you're not a hunter, you're not a fisherman, but you want to check out an area. We're into some really nice weather patterns for December. Get out and hike. We have some beautiful conservation areas. But if you're out and about and you see something that looks like a wildlife violation or just looks like a typical violation, you can contact our Operation Game Thief hotline at 1-800-392-1111.
And I will put in a last-second plug here, because we are – I mean, I'm not really a hunter. I'm not really an angler. Now, if you ask me where the fish are, I can point them to you in the supermarket, as with the meat. I can tell you where all that stuff is in the supermarket, but out and about. But my wife and I love the trails, because my wife loves to take pictures. In fact, one of the reasons that she loves them so much – she actually subscribed to the Conservation Department magazines, which Missouri residents can do free of charge. And there's some great pictures in there, and there's some great information in there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And you can find that on our website. If you just go to the magazine section, you can, like you said, if you're a Missouri resident with a Missouri address, they will actually mail you that magazine for free. And it's packed full of information.
Absolutely. Well, hey, everyone, let's keep everything going well and hit the home stretch at the end of the year. Chris, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate getting to see you again.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Chris Boyd from the Missouri Department of Conservation delivering this week's Conservation Report. And that wraps up our Conservation Report for this week. Thanks again to Chris Boyd, Taney County agent, for joining us. And, of course, this will join all the other At Your Service podcast and all of our other shows right here on the Branson Podcast Network. We still have a few more Conservation Reports coming up before we wrap up the season right here on the At Your Service podcast, part of the Branson Podcast Network.